Imagine widespread consensus around scientific facts and historic events. Online interactions based on mutual respect and dignity. Systems that discourage people from being wrong on the internet. How might we get there? And do we really want to?
Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics, working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, and ethics. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Arushi Saxena, the founder of the EcMinute Project, an initiative that promotes digital literacy and better forwarding behavior on WhatsApp and beyond. Arushi is also the product marketing manager for misinformation and civic integrity at Twitter, where she works on spreading awareness about platform features designed to minimize the spread of misinformation. And just a note for you all, Arushi is speaking to us today as an active member of the Responsible Tech Movement and is not representing Twitter Inc. in any capacity.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Arushi. This is really exciting to have the chance to talk about something that's been impacting all of us in our daily lives, which is misinformation on the internet. Could you start us out with a little overview of what misinformation is as opposed to just being wrong?
Thanks, Ellen and Craig, for having me. I wish that misinformation wasn't something that we dealt with on a daily basis, but it is. So my quick TLDR on misinformation is it's existed for centuries. Misinformation, also known as fake news, not necessarily synonymous terms, but used synonymously. It was something that was first grounded in just propaganda. Nazi Germany experienced misinformation. We used it in the World Wars during the Cold War. It was just the act of one actor spreading some sort of misleading or manipulated content, either visually or written, to another actor for the purposes of getting them to adjust their behavior a certain way or to react a certain way. And that's also what yellow journalism was. It's historical, but now it has taken a certain shape and form.
You've been working in this area of sort of combating misinformation. What's your perspective of what the internet looks like as far as who's spreading it or why it's spreading?
There's different forms of misinfo. There is intentional misinformation, which is known as disinformation. And there's accidental misinformation, where people receive some information and they end up forwarding it to create this mass effect with high speed and at large scale. I think there are different causes for each. I specifically spent a lot of time on the accidental misinformation as part of my EcMinute project.
For the sake of our listeners, what is the EcMinute project that you're working on? What is the goal there? What is it you're trying to achieve with that particular project?
EcMinute means 1 minute in Hindi. It was a campaign that I ran earlier this year for 6 months, and it originally started as my thesis project outside of the Master's in Design Engineering program at Harvard, where all master's students were asked to do a cross-functional interdisciplinary project that addressed a societal issue that they cared about. And in my personal life, I'm a South Asian first generation. My family's from India. And I saw how my mom and dad and other family members were receiving really problematic messages on WhatsApp that were clear forwards that had cultural, racial, political undertones and that were pretty evidently false, but people loved reading them. I wanted to understand, why do people send these? Why do people read them? And then why do they forward them?
Is the EcMinute project seeking to counter misinformation or just sort of analyze it or understand it?
It's a bit of both. On the researcher side, it was me trying to conducting user research interviews, stakeholder interviews, to understand in that microsecond what gets you to forward without thinking. That's part A. Part B was designing a bunch of really bold, creative counter forwards that I hoped people would start sending that were about why you shouldn't believe everything you read.
Can you give me an example of what a counter forward is? I love that phrase, by the way.
Yeah, I made it up.
like any good grad student, you got to coin a term.
Exactly. It's not real academia until you've made some jargon. So a counter forward was just also a forward that was a parody of the actual forwards. But this time the forward would be sneakily or playfully trying to teach you something or get you to reflect instead of just forwarding without thinking.
So I'm curious what you did learn about people accidentally spreading misinformation. Did they become more reflective or did they discontinue that sort of forwarding everything that comes their way?
Yes and no. We think in our small pilot, people at least started engaging with the idea of thinking before forwarding. But at the end of the day, because it's such ingrained behavior, we realize that something called a complex contagion theory, which means that you have to see something many times before you internalize it. For people to change their behavior online, they have to see reasons for why they shouldn't forward things like that many times. The optimist within me is happy that at least we did have older people talk to us about fact-checking and how they might consider it.
This sort of speaks to that whole thing that you almost can't tell people enough times what is true or accurate or what is a better way to approach something, because the first time they won't listen and they won't read. And not because they're unwilling or they're more fallible, it's just kind of human nature that we need to sort of get beat over the head with it a little bit. Is that kind of what your research showed?
That's right. There's ingrained human nature. There's also this chart I made for my thesis, like a decision map of what happens the moment you see a forward. And there are heuristics, psychological heuristics that play a role. So there's your confirmation bias. When you see something that you agree with, you're like, obviously it's true. I'm going to forward it. There's data void. So with COVID, for example, when you just have a void of enough data out there or news, whatever you see related to that topic, you're going to believe it. There's authority bias. There's all sorts of biases that play a role in this 1 to 5 second moment.
What's authority bias?
Authority effect, which is actually discussed in a very famous book called The Psychology of Persuasion. Authority effect is when you receive something from someone who is trusted, who is an authority in that subject, someone you look up to.
So like if I already am predisposed to think that Anthony Fauci knows what he's talking about when he says it, I'm just going to go, okay, yeah. And I might be more likely to forward that or pass that info on.
But also if your mom sent you something.
Exactly, Ellen. Exactly. That's what kept happening. When your mom or your grandma, who you trust, hopefully you do trust them, but sometimes it doesn't pan out well.
You know what they say, you can't always trust your mother.
I understand that a lot of different factors go into sort of accidentally spreading misinformation. I know it's possible there's even times that I've been wrong on the internet or where, you know, don't laugh. It's entirely possible, really.
It's entirely possible you've been wrong on the internet.
There's been a lot of news and a lot of information and a lot of new stuff and a lot of processing. You know, it's like the 24-hour news cycle. It's hard to know how to grapple with it constantly. But now you're working in civic integrity. You're looking more at intentional actors behind misinformation. What does that look like? What does the civic integrity at Twitter do?
Civic integrity has to just do with anything that's political process or elections related, irrespective of whether it's federal or state, just anything that has to do with the civic system. And what my work entails is irrespective of whether the misinformation was spread intentionally, so whether it was disinfo, I am working with a team of people where we try to promote adoption of certain features on Twitter that are meant to prevent mass retweeting of misinfo. We definitely have teams that focus on disinformation and detecting it and combating it. I don't necessarily do that work. I work with those teams. But my work is, all we know is that there is misinfo on these platforms. We need to do something about it. How do we empower consumers to also do something about it and not fall victim to it?
I've also been seeing people on Twitter posting screen grabs of Twitter that say things like, this might start a fight, or like, this is an unnecessarily contentious thing to say. So is that the sort of thing that you guys are working on, just sort of these user tools to help people think twice before they do something rash?
Those are the tools and labels and prompts that my team is trying to spread awareness about, but also trying to understand the efficacy of. And ultimately, that's what we're doing. We want you to be able to decide what you want and what you think. But if the latest information is showing that something is wrong or not credible, we want to surface that to you.
So how do you study the impact of these features?
There are qualitative and quantitative undertakings. So teams will look at the adoption and the click-through rate, whether people actually paid attention to certain labels. But there's also understanding customers from different demographics and different backgrounds, what they thought of that feature, and understanding if what we intended landed in their mind. Did they view it as an irritation? Did they view it as something that was kind of useful, that they were glad it was there? Just understanding those kinds of thought processes.
Did it aggravate their oppositional defiance disorder? They're like, I'll post it anyway. Don't tell me it's going to start a fight, Twitter, right?
Yeah, human behavior is complex.
Have you all been able to identify any positive trends in how misinformation gets spread through the ecosystem?
So we have learned a lot about the speed at which it spreads and the scale at which it spreads. And we pay attention to patterns. So like ultimately, you want to be able to get ahead of misinformation and disinformation. I think luckily, in combination with the experts we've been working with and our own learnings, we are getting smarter there. And that's really important. But what I still think a lot about is, at the end of the day, the communities and the people who are affected by it. I focus more on the latter part, more so than the former part.
By the latter part, you mean that in the end, what people may read or consume online, regardless of platform, is affecting their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Regardless of platform, unfortunately, every platform has the issue. And so that's why I'm a responsible tech advocate. That's what's my evening job, is to think about this holistically.
Because in the end, it's actually affecting people's behavior in the real world and how they may approach actual real problems of the day.
I think we've seen that with COVID, particularly, that people get fed wrong information and believe it for whatever reason. And it absolutely has been detrimental to public health.
There's an interesting visual that was put out by the Shorenstein Center at Harvard by Dr. Joan Donovan's team that puts misinfo on a spectrum. And you have misinfo that is just the right thing presented in the wrong context, all the way to something that is completely straight up baloney. So there is a spectrum and nuances of how to understand what misinfo is.
Could you provide an example of something that's presented in the wrong context where it's sort of in that gray area?
So one example, this is something I encountered in my research for the 8-Minute Project. This happened in India. There was a video of a child getting kidnapped, and the PSA was, don't leave your children unattended. But it was in the context of a video. There was no copy on the video. But that video was taken out of context and put into a WhatsApp copy that said, oh my God, this kid got kidnapped in this village at the hands of this Muslim man. Please look out for minorities in your communities because they're stealing your children. And this WhatsApp video got taken out of context, mass forward in India. It resulted in over 20 lynchings in India. This was a big violent affair in India in 2018. It made the news. And so it's an example of video that was just taken out of context and altered.
Arushi, we can't thank you enough for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to chat with you all.
And if you would like more information about Arushi's work, you can visit ekminuteproject.com. That's ekminuteproject.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.
So you can find me just sitting at my crossroads waiting for the light to change, and the same familiar faces come onto my bus and remind me.